We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, kids, come on down.
Ready?
Okay. Come on, come on.
Ready?
Okay. Man, I still got it. Here, sit right here. There you go. Okay, good morning, everyone. Are y'all sleepy?
No.
No? Okay, so you remember a couple weeks ago, I told you about a place that I grew up. In a place called Saudi Arabia,
where it's hot.
And when we first got there, I didn't have a really good attitude. And then when I got there, I even had a worse attitude when I saw the place, because it's a giant desert. It's a desert. And if you know what a desert is full of sand and rock. Now, the sand is dirty and it moves and it gets under your socks, right? And it just creates a mess. And so I grumbled a lot about this desert that we were gonna go live in. Okay? It's kinda close to the Sahara Desert, kinda. Now, fast forward a few years, and I went on a class trip, okay? And in this class trip, they were so excited and told us that we were gonna go camp, guess where? In the middle of the desert. So guess what I did? I grumbled. How can camping in the middle of a desert be cool? Now, I have a picture of us camping. It's literally there's nothing there. There's nothing, right? The sand was blowing and it felt like little needles on your legs because the wind was so hard. But then something happened. The sun went down, and it wasn't so hot. And then I looked up, and when I looked up, I saw millions and millions of stars. I saw so many stars that the stars that I saw were only the stars that God usually sees. Because the stars that we see, they're not that many, right? So at that moment in my life, Ian, and I was young, I looked up and I could feel that warm, ooey-gooey feeling in my heart. Y'all know that feeling, right? Where I just knew, Ian, I knew those 1 trillion stars and where I was. I knew and felt that God was there. The desert was no longer a gross, dusty, sandy place to me. It was a place where I could feel God. Now, we can't go to a desert every day, right?
Yeah, it's too hot.
It's too hot and it's kind of far, right?
Yeah.
Right? But there are places that we can get that ooey gooey feeling and warmth right here. It might be on a basketball court when a girl falls down and you help her up. Or it might be when you see someone at your school and they're brand new and you go over to them and eat lunch with them so they're not alone, right? Or it might be someone, Maya, that says, hey, you know what? You're having a crummy time with this little boot, but that sure is cool, and I'm gonna help you out, right? We can see God every single day. And so what I challenge you guys is to do this. I want y'all to see, pay attention to feeling God. in your everyday life, because I promise you will find him. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for our family, our friends, our pets, and this awesome church. Amen. Good job. Ready?
So I like the definition of the ooey-gooey feeling in your heart. At Open Skies, we decide we would write a country and western song. So whoever writes the song first wins. Ooey-gooey feeling. Okay, so this true story, you can Google it, it's real. AP reported it. Does anybody ever hear of the traumatic, tragic tale of Chippy the Parakeet? Chippy the Parakeet, anybody? Nobody. Oh, good. So Chippy the Parakeet was loved by his owner, and one day his owner, well, she decided it was time to clean the cage out. And rather than go through the tedious work of cleaning the parakeet's cage out, she developed what she thought would be a shortcut that would be fine. So she got her vacuum cleaner. No, it was fine. She was vacuuming him out, and it was going great until the phone rang. And when the phone rang, she laid it down very carefully, the vacuum cleaner, but somehow it moved. And it moved in the exact, it was just not good. And all of a sudden, Chippy was sucked in to the vacuum cleaner. Well, the woman screamed, hung up the phone, ran to the vacuum cleaner, turned it off, ripped open the bag, and there was Chippy. A little dazed, covered with stuff, good word. And the woman, well, she felt horrible, and so she did what any of us would do if our parakeet got sucked in to the vacuum cleaner. We grabbed Chippy, and she ran to the bathroom, filled the sink up, and proceeded to baptize Chippy. Not once, not twice, three times. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Full immersion, not Methodist, immersion. And the story goes that Chippy came up, and he was a little more dazed, but he didn't have any stuff on him. Now he was just wet. Well, the owner, she, bless her heart, she panicked. She was worried that Chippy would catch a cold and die. So she did what any of you would do. There was her blow dryer. And so she grabbed the blow dryer, blow dried Chippy, and so he was now a lot more dazed. But he was dry, and he was clean. But when she was asked later how Chippy was doing, she said, well, I love this answer. Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. All he does is sit and stare. So my question is, have any of you ever felt like Chippy? Sucked in, washed out, blown away. Anyone? See, if you have ever felt, let's say it should be on the screen, one at a time. Sucked in. Then David says to you, King David, welcome to the club, because that's David's life. Now, for those of you who don't know, David was the great king of Israel. And even today, David is a hero among the Jewish people. But his life, he knew what it meant to be sucked in, washed out, blown away. I mean, this is, you think you have it bad sometimes, right? Get this. David's own son, whom he loved, planned a coup to overthrow him as king. And then in the midst of the battle, David's son, whom he loved, was killed. Before David became king, the king who was prior to him was an insanely jealous king. And he plotted and tried to have David killed because the king knew David one day would sit on the throne. And when David wrote the 27th Psalm, which you've already read, there were enemies behind him, enemies in front, enemies to the right, enemies to the left. And you know what David said in the second verse, if you translate it accurately, right? He said, I have enemies who want to devour my very flesh. And that was before zombies. I mean, David understood what it means to be sucked in, washed out, blown away. And so he writes this beautiful prayer, which we call the 27th Psalm. But for David, it was a prayer for him. And in the middle of the prayer, David writes these words. He says this. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. One thing I ask, and what was it? To be in the presence of God. Now, I want you to notice what David's prayer wasn't. Right? When you and I pray to God in the midst of being sucked in, washed out, blown away, we generally ask God, oh God, please fix my problem. God, make my problem go away. That's not what David asked. He asked for one thing. He said, all I want is to dwell in your house and behold your beauty, and then I know I'll be okay. That's what he says. Now he talks about the tabernacle, right? And so some people think when they read this psalm, some people think, Rusty, that, well, all David wants to do is spend the whole day in church, right? We spend the whole day in church, and we still feel sucked in, washed out, and blown away. That's not the answer. I mean, you could, and that's not what David was saying anyhow. Because when David was talking about the tabernacle, he wasn't talking about the Jewish tabernacle that was built in Jerusalem. You know how I know that? It wasn't built yet. David didn't build the tabernacle. Right. And so one commentator I read this week, and I laughed out loud, and I wanted to send him an email, but no. He said, well, what David was doing, he was envisioning the future temple. No, he wasn't. David knew God didn't reside in the temple. In the fifth verse, David talks about the tent. Anybody know what David was referring to when he says a tent? He's referring to the tabernacle. You remember the tabernacle, right? Those of you who understand and read the Hebrew scripture. Tabernacle was a worship center that was on wheels for the Jews as they wandered around in the wilderness. They would carry this thing with them all the time. And when they settled down for the night, for the week, for the month, however long God kept them there, they would rebuild this tabernacle, this tent, and they would put it in the center of camp, and they would build the rest of the camp around it. So in the very center of camp, they believed was this symbol, this sign, this reminder that God was in their midst, that God was in their presence. Which, by the way, side note, you're not paying for this. This is free. In John's gospel, John writes this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word tabernacled among us. What it says, what we read in English, the Word dwelt among us. But the real word is tabernacle, because all tabernacle means is in the midst. So all David is asking for, I mean, this is it. He didn't ask for his problem to be taken away. He didn't ask for anything to be fixed. He simply wanted to be reminded that he was in the very presence of God. That's all. Right? And what I laughed when I figured that out, I laughed. Because David, of all people, would know that. Because David wrote my favorite psalm, Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, David says this, God, where can I go where you're not there? If I go to the very heavens, God, you're there. If I go to the depths of hell, you're there. If I ride on the wings of eagles, you're there. If I go to the far seas, you're there. David understood that God isn't contained in a temple, a sanctuary, a tent, a chapel, or a box. David knows that God is everywhere. But I think what's happening here is David is expressing a craving for the presence of God. What David longs for is this intimate presence of God. Because David's understood the presence of God is an antidote for fear. David got it. Being in the presence of God is why David didn't let being sucked in, washed out, blown away, turn him into Chippier the parakeet. One thing I ask, one thing, to be in the house of the Lord, to see the beauty of God. So years ago, there was a study that some sociologist, scientist, psychiatrist type person wanted to figure out why toddlers throw tantrums. Right, anybody have a toddler that ever throw a tantrum? Raise your hand. Can I get an amen? The bigger the tantrum. Yeah. Right? So this is what they came up with. Okay, this was her findings. Toddlers do not think logically. I know. Exactly. This is a brilliant woman. Toddlers do not think logically. But what she said makes sense. They think magically. So for them, the way they perceive the world is different than the way you and I perceive the world. You see, for a toddler, they actually believe that if they take a bath, they might go down the drain when the water goes out. Because they don't think logically. Toddler might believe that when they get on an escalator, if they don't jump off, they might go where those steps mysteriously go. Toddlers believe, don't move, that I actually have his nose, right? Because they don't think logically. They don't have the perception, they can't perceive, they don't have that. That's not how they think. So this doctor concluded that if you're not sure whether or not a simple bath will end in your demise, you're going to feel pretty confused and prone to anxiety on a daily basis. And what she said is that the uncertainty and the uninformed thoughts lead to angry outbursts and anxious tantrums. Basically, a toddler is constantly living in moments of stress because they don't understand the world. They don't perceive it logically or rationally. Now, we can laugh about toddlers throwing tantrums. The only problem is we're not that much different. When we don't think logically or rationally, we just freak out. And when we're surrounded with fear or anxiety or stress, when we're facing situations of being sucked in, washed out, and blown away, we don't think our perception is different. We don't think logically. We don't think rationally. And David says, when you get to that point, being in the presence of God is the only answer. It's the only way to truly be healed. What David says is, there is something about being in the presence of God that clears our perspectives and that helps us understand what matters most and what doesn't matter at all. That's David. Now, that sounds great, right? But here's my question when I read that. What does he mean? How do we, normal human beings, stay in the presence of God? Does anybody want to just camp out in the sanctuary? No, I mean, we've done it. I mean, we're here all day, and we still feel sucked in. That's not the answer. It's not what he's talking about. So I'm going to try to explain it this way. An author named Dorothy Bass has a way to answer that. Bass talks about or writes about, she says, we ask people all day long, how was your day? How was your day? How was your day? And we get relatively vague answers. Oh, not bad. Because really, we don't pay that much attention to the activities of our day. So she tells a story of this mom who decided to change the question. So every night when she tucked her kids to bed, she didn't ask anymore, how was your day? She asked them, you got it, Matt? Where did you meet God today? And then the kids would share where they met God, where they saw God, where they felt God. They would start, and then she would, I saw God when I was, I met God when I was walking down the street and there was a tree with the flowers on it. I met God when I saw somebody in the park and they were helping a man in a wheelchair. I met God, and they just start going through where. And then what she did brilliantly, she took all the stuff of their day and it became their nighttime prayer. Now, what that story tells me is being in the presence of God doesn't come naturally. We have to practice it. We have to train ourselves. And I think a great way to do it is to just pay attention during the day where we meet God. And then all of a sudden, we're going to see God in the strangest places. We're going to see God in the desert like Leah did. We're going to see God in the hospital room. We're going to see God in our study, in our workplace. We're going to see God in our worship. We're going to see God in our schools, because all of a sudden we're looking. And I can think of no better place to begin practicing the presence of God than at a table. A table that God prepares. A table that God said such profound words that 2,000 years later we're saying the same words. See, because this table is where Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And then he gave it and he said, take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this and remember that I love you. Then he takes a cup and he says, this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you and for many so that all your sins may be forgiven. Do this and know that I died for you. So we come to this table, and we as United Methodists, we don't believe that this bread magically turns into the body of Christ. And we don't believe that this cup magically turns into the blood of Christ. But we believe that God is in this, that God is present with us. So that when we gather around a table and we break bread and we share bread, we are in the very presence of God. So my prayer is simple. May you remember David's words. One thing I ask. And may you, next time you feel sucked in, washed out, blown away, may David's prayer be your prayer. One thing I ask. One thing. To dwell in the house and to see the beauty of God. The one thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Tuesday night.